Well, a very good evening out there, and thanks for tuning in to Terrace Talk here this evening on Monday evening, coming to you live, as always, from our studios here in Tralee. Myself, Donald Barry, and I'll be with you until 8 o'clock this evening. And I do hope you can stay with us for some of the show, or indeed maybe all of the show, as we chat with some of those preparing for next Sunday's Senior Football Championship Final, of course, between Dr. Crokes and Dingle. I also catch up with members of Unreach's AC Masters, who competed recently at the World Masters Marathon, and indeed took a bronze at the individual, as well as a bronze and a team medal. So looking forward to chat to them possibly around 6:30 there on the boards. And then the second hour, we catch up with the Abidorny ladies footballers and the Clamorris Camogie players as they look ahead to their Munster Championship openers. And I suppose in many ways we were going to be looking forward to it, but it's become something of a nightmare for them, with up to 11 players who are dual players, and we'll be dwelling down on that and seeing what's happening there. All that and time for your comments as well and views. If you can get in contact with us by phone 0667123666, or you can WhatsApp us or text us as usual on 083 300 3300. Both Keen and Ivan are in the studio this evening, and of course it's a big week as well for the footballers of Fyries and Ardfert, who are building up for their Premier Junior Final on Saturday, and you might want to send us on the best wishes for those as well, or maybe anything else that is bothering you. Now, next Sunday, Dr. Crokes will look to win their 14th senior county football title, while Dingle will try to write their own history, of course, by trying to end a 76-year famine since their last win as a club all the way back in 1948. Can you imagine, it's that long ago, 1948? Well, earlier this week I caught up with the Dingle and Dr. Crokes camps to look forward to Sunday's Garves Senior Football Final, which will of course take place in Ossensack Park. Now, a man who knows a thing or two about winning a county title, two in fact actually, is Dingle selector Liam O'Connor, who's part of that West Kerry team of course in 1984 and 1985, and he took a look back at the path to the final that Dingle have reached.
It's absolutely incredible altogether to be preparing for a county final, for the Dingle Club to be preparing for a county final. We haven't got to that many in recent times. 2012, 2018, they ended in disappointment. But at the moment, the excitement is building, and we're looking forward to it very, very much.
Mm-hmm. How difficult was that league campaign?
It was challenging, to say the least. But what it did do was that it gave a lot of guys game time that they mightn't previously have had the opportunity to get. And in a way, it sort of deepened our panel, gave guys a lot of experience. We brought in some very young guys, about 17 years of age, and they will benefit from that long term. But it was challenging week to week, trying to keep the heads up, trying to keep lads encouraged to keep it going, because you know, week on week you're losing, and nobody wants to be losing week on week. And but we were missing at one stage 13 first choice players from last year, you know, between lads in with Kerry and lads who were rehabbing from injuries that that were a follow-on from the long year we had last year. So it was what it was, and we had to deal with it as a management.
Mm-hmm. And of course, he turned it around fairly quickly, because obviously when the Kerry boys came back, the championship starts, and first up is Dr. Crokes.
Yeah.
He couldn't have asked for a tougher one. But yet, a hugely pleasing result.
It was indeed, yeah. And I think people who were at that game or watched it were... we're quite happy with the standard of football, 3:17 to 2:14. I said to someone at the time, you couldn't say that the backs had a bad day that day. They hadn't, but it was just the quality of forward play from both sides was exceptional that day. Mm-hmm. And it was, yeah, it, you know, my own thoughts going into that game, having experienced the county league, was, geez, if we can keep to within 4 or 5 points of these guys, yeah, like, you know, we'll be doing okay. But the injection from the county lads coming back was extraordinary. It was transformative, really, and it lifted the other guys, and so it was a good performance on the day from us. But Crokes didn't play badly on the day.
No,
either.
And it's funny because the club championship did produce some massive football. The semi final was fantastic. Between Kinmare. I mean, that was certainly a game for the ages as well, and came through. And of course, the last minute goal maybe as well helped a lot. So you would be hugely buoyed going into the final, but then the final didn't play out.
No, we there's divided opinion on that. Did we fall flat? Had Crokes their homework well done? Crokes played very well on the day, and we did what we could that day, but we just never got going. It was just one of those days, and everybody involved in team sport knows that there are days like that, and we had a day like that. But have to say, it was down to Crokes playing very well on the day, and we had no answer to them on the day.
And then, of course, I suppose you leave it, and County Championship is around the corner. Meath-Kerry is the first team. Of course, it beat the previous years and put a good few goals on you, maybe in the semi-final as well. But you started a million miles an hour.
We did. We got three goals. We got three goals in a few minutes. I think we went goal crazy then, rather than picking off a few points just to keep the scoreboard ticking over. And they got a turnover against the run of play at the time, and came up the field, got a goal. That kind of gave them a bit of oxygen. And I think we go in level at half time. So it was a bit of a downer for us. And Meath-Kerry came out with a spring in their step. And even though the scoring was tight enough in the second half, I don't think we ever looked like winning that game. But as things transpired, it was a bit of a blessing in disguise. Had we won that game, it might have papered over a few cracks, and going through the back door gave us the opportunity to reset and have a closer look at things.
And of course, it is a back door. Of course, South Kerry first up. It was unusual watching the South Kerry game that maybe moved players into different positions. Maybe you might have been looking even further down the line. But numerous occasions, how Paul Gainey was playing full back that day and centre back and the whole lot. He certainly enjoyed it.
Paul is full of energy at the moment, and he's. He's playing superb football. You would not think he's approaching his mid-30s. He's a great leader, and when Paul is on board with us, he brings up the standard all around, and everybody responds to Paul. He's a big hero here in town, of course, and But positional play that day, and fellas playing in various positions, that was really down to the absence through injury of various players, and kind of moving the chess pieces around on the board. It seemed like that for a while.
So it was a win, first win in the county championship. Next up was that kind of very strange game with Milltown. A lot of people, of course, talking about the scoreline more than anything else, but it possibly wasn't reflected of Milton on the day.
It was not. And they were missing Killian Burke for their entire championship campaign, and they had another couple of injuries of key players that day. And things can go badly for you on a particular day, and that happened. That happened for Milltown that day, and but that's no reflection on Milltown. They're a fine team,
and they're finding their feet. Obviously, at senior level,
they are
coming up from intermediate.
They
and all
are,
that.
Yeah.
A team who have found their feet, of course, coming up from intermediate, were Temple Noe. They're up there 5 years, and each of the 5 years they've made the quarterfinal of the county championship.
We anticipated a big challenge from Temple Noe, and after 25 minutes of the first half, that's the way it was panning out. We were seven points to four down. I think they were missing a couple of key players for them, and they are a club from a low population base, and if you're missing a key player, it's not so easy to replace them for a county championship game. And we kind of got a run on them then before half time, and it seemed to, like what I said previously, we went in with a spring in our step. they went in possibly a bit downbeat, and we had Tom Sullivan back there that day, and he was a rejuvenated Tom Sullivan, and like the Tom we've grown so used to, and things just went very well for us in the second half. Mm-hmm.
So you're at the business end now. You're in the semi-finals. You're waiting for the draw. No easy option, I presume, in the draw, but you got East Kerry, the defending champions. Before that game, I mean, was it pleasing that the chess pieces were coming back now? You mentioned Tom was coming back, Paul was coming back. So there would have been a real good feel factor going into that game for Dingle.
Well, we weren't going into it in a bad way. You know, we had reset ourselves during that backdoor process, and we were going in determined that we were going to give a good account of ourselves. We were under no illusions as to what we were up against. 4 out of 5 championships, and no need to name the personnel on board. Like, you know, I mean, those guys can turn the game in the blink of an eye. So I think we did give a good account of ourselves last Sunday, but we needed to, because, you know, they got a good start on us. We were 3 points down. We got back into it. We went in with a bit of a spring in our step at half time. But they came out very determined in the second half.
You always seem to have the answer, though. I mean, in some games when East Kerry pull away, they pull away, but you were able to stick in there. Dylan Ganey's a couple of points, 3 points there, 2 monsters in between. I mean, they were fierce crucial.
They were. He hit a purple patch there for a few minutes, and Dylan is capable of that, and he's improving year on year, and I think I said the other day that he has a great career ahead of him, and he's a good player. But then you know, I think we got a 3 point lead, and they came back again, and you know, we were fortunate with the penalty. Had that gone in the back of the net, we were done for. Yeah.
It's funny, we'll talk about the Ganeys and we'll talk about Barry Dan, the whole lot. Gavin H. Corn is a fellow who doesn't come up too often. I mean, how crucial was that save? And it was a fantastic save, because there was no denying it. I mean, David Clifford was going for a goal, he was going in there, and it was a fantastic save.
And it wasn't a badly struck penalty, he didn't scuff it or anything like that. It was heading for the net, and Gavin guessed the right way and got it around the post. Gavin is a very accomplished keeper, and his kicking out was quite good and consistent there on Sunday. Goalkeepers can have I won't say they can have a bad day, but you can put pressure on keepers, and from their perspective, they're looking out at a mass of players, and for any of the goalkeepers today to pick out their own men, like, you know, it's good planning. Like, you know, we were putting pressure on East Kerry. Brian Kelly was still able to find his own man, and Shane Murphy will be able to do that on Sunday week, like, you know.
And of course it sets you up in a final with a team you probably, I suppose, you have a shared enough history, 2012, 2018 games that you went into probably in good enough form. The results didn't happen. I suppose you have that league to look back on, or we'd say the league this year, I suppose, that they were flying. You closed the gap on that. Are you heading into the final in a place that's good, because you kind of know the team that you're playing now? You've played them enough times. You mentioned earlier in the interview that maybe Croke's done their homework on you, maybe in that second game this year in the club final. Have you the homework to do now in the Croke's?
There's homework to be done for every match. Mm-hmm. And you can, you know, going into a county final, going into any match where there are two good teams, both teams are going to have their game plans, and good teams will try and suss out the other team's game plan fairly early, and then a championship game breaks out, and it will be down to winning 50-50 balls and making block downs and making catches and just running that extra yard, and that's what we're going to try and prepare for, to be ready for that all-out effort.
There you go, that's the thoughts of Liam O'Connor, of course, selector with Dingle. Now, if Dingle are to win on Sunday, they'll need big performances from the defensive unit, especially our next guest, Micheál Flannery.
To be fair, it was a tough ball game as well. I know we got three goals, but you know, me and Kerry had missed a few chances. And you know, once we got a few goals, they settled down and they started taking their chances and they started playing the way we know they can play. And they were fairly impressive, to be honest. And they picked us apart. But again, yeah, we were a bit deflated. We're a little bit deflated, and we let ourselves down a small bit, you know. I guess a bit of a hangover from the week before's game, and you know, we didn't settle too well. Yeah. But
and what's the kind of talk in the dressing room with players then? I mean, like he had a difficult enough league, I suppose that's explainable with the amount of injuries he had. And I know at one stage he had 12 or 13 players missing from the panel. He got on a great run. He beat the Crokes. He had a smashing game down here against Kilmare. You go into the final, it goes a little bit flat. Then the following week, is it hard then to pick yourselves up? You're in, we'll say, the losers round. You're in the losers draw. There's no loss from here that'll bring you back into it. So the South Kerry game, did you tiptoe into it maybe?
It's easy to pick yourself back up when the gun's to your head. The gun was to our head, and we knew it was do or die, and we knew we didn't have a choice but to pick ourselves back up. And I think it was just important for us to just get back to brass tacks, you know, working hard and running and, you know, playing together. Fairness to the management, they did a super job. They did a super job that week. We were well prepared, like we are for every single game. And we got down to South Kerry, and we just got the job done. And we didn't care if it was by 1 point, or if it was by, you know, whatever it was, 1 point would have done us. We just wanted to get over the line and get back on the road. And thankfully we could do that. They were, you know, it was a tough enough one game. We made hard work of it, but thankfully we got through it and we're on the road.
Who's allowed to see this?
Diagnosed with Angel. Yeah, that's what I had.
Alright. You're going to say about 600 he's now, aren't you? So you've got over to South Kerry, Milltown next up, a team that you know well, I suppose, along the way, playing County League and the whole lot, and of course earlier. It was a strange game. I mean, everybody talks about the result, 18 points to 1. Is it hard to kind of do your business in a game where you're kind of maybe so far ahead, or are you still just focused on getting to the end and motoring on?
Yeah, I think after the few weeks before, we didn't have any luxury of being able to take the foot off the gas. You know, that Milltown game was a strange one. To be fair, we played them in the group stages of the club championship, and we had a great game over Milltown. But I think to the conditions on the day, you know, just went against Milltown. And thankfully, we play a bit of West Kerry Championship, and we're used to those kind of conditions. Every game, I think, in the West Kerry Championship is pouring rain, and there's a gale of wind.
Temple, no, maybe a bit like yourselves, a smaller club team, I suppose, drawing on the reserves of a number of county players as well. Hugely put together with a lot of families, and it was their fifth quarter final in a row as well, which was unique for them. At this stage, it's moving up a level. Do you feel that within the group as well, that there's better momentum, that things are getting sharper? Because it took you a while to get out of that game as well.
Yeah, it did, to be fair. We were the first 20 minutes or 25 minutes were extremely difficult for us. We kind of seemed to gather our traps then after that. We got in at half time, and the boys, you know, had a few tweaks, and thankfully we came out in the second half. We got on top early, and we kind of kept going with it. But yeah, it was like, you know, it was just about getting over the line. I think that was our fourth week in a row or something like that, and you know, going through the losers round, you obviously don't have the benefit of having the week off to regroup. We just back to brass tacks, just get over the line by 1 point. Great, just get through.
Mm-hmm. The draw then, of course, I mean, there's no easy teams left at this stage with the four teams in it. You drew East Kerry. I mean, what was the WhatsApp group chat like when you got that before you ever played them?
We just one chat. Basically, they just put in the fixture, and that was it. We got on with it. I guess the management team sat down, made a plan, and we just. That was it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when you're playing a district team like that, they're obviously going for three in a row. I think they're eight clubs, and a lot of intercounty experience in that team. Like, you know, you have to just say, look, lads, you know, we had to play it a bit of our own strengths as well. Like, you know, you can't just completely fold and kind of whimper to them, like, you know. So, but we knew, we had the belief in ourselves, like, you know, that if we could work hard and we could stay in the game for as long as possible, you know, at the end then you can nick it. And geez, thankfully that's the way it went. And, you know, there was a strong wind there, didn't really favour either side, like, but, you know, we were lucky on the day, things kind of just went our way, and that was it, we came away with the win.
Yeah. You'd have got big odds on Tom Leo getting the first goal from wingback, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you'd be surprised. You should see him. he's got a sweet foot in him.
Yeah.
Tom is an extremely talented player. Really good guy to have in the group. We've seen him at, like, especially, you know, we see it in training a lot. Like, you know, Tom's a well-able player, and I was just absolutely delighted for him to get that goal. Tom's been working really, really hard there, and you know, again, just back from an injury, back, and he's back in the fold, and it was great for him to get that goal. It was just reward. I think he did a super job on Sunday, and it was just reward for him.
Yeah, and of course it sets you up nicely at half time. I mean, you were level thereabouts moving in. East Kerry were always going to have an extra kick in them. That goal then came, of course, Luke Crowley into David Clifford, and off they went with the whole thing. But how crucial were the couple of points that Dylan Gainey scored? I mean, he did score two absolute monsters at the time.
Yeah, he did. Dylan's an exceptionally talented player, and it was great to, you know, that he was able to pull that out, and he's got that in his arsenal. Thank God, thankfully for us, he plays for us. But yeah, no, it was super. Like, and it's just stature of the man that, you know, he was able to stand up and get those scores when we really needed them. And you know, Dylan's a super player and a big player for us, so we're just delighted, you know, that he was able to get us through that little sticky patch. Yeah.
And then time running out, it looks like it's heading to extra time or thereabouts, and then the penalty.
Yeah,
from where you were standing in the field, were you a bit like, oh dear God, here we go again?
No, funnily enough, no. You know, Gavin's a super goalie. Gavin's a super goalkeeper, and, you know, we kind of had full faith in him. He's very quick. He's very quick with his diving skills and stuff like that. So, you know, like, it's 50-50 with penalties, as you know. Like, it can go either way. You know, like, it's just like, you know, it's a pure look. And thankfully, Gavin picked the right side. I think he did a bit of homework done there. Jack O'Sullivan there does a small bit of stats and stuff for us, and I think he just went for a homework done, so, you know, he just hedged his bets, and thankfully it came off for us.
And then you're going in extra time, you have that couple of minutes back in the dressing room again. What's the chat now at this stage? Are you saying, listen, we have a right chance to go here, or is it kind of holding him, or is it very dependent on maybe the toss, because you got the wind and you got those couple of scores quick enough?
Yeah, kind of. I guess, like, throughout, like, we kind of had this belief, this kind of belief that we were going to do it from the minute go, from the first minute. So nothing really changed. A few small tactical changes, and then that was it. Away we go. And again, like, next time, just about staying in the game for as long as you can. And then hopefully, you know, at the end you can pull away a small bit or get a few scores.
There was that extra special cheer probably coming off the field in Austin Stack Park. I mean, it's, I suppose, clubs getting to county finals, it tends to be rare enough now in the last number of years with the amount of maybe districts getting there and pushing ahead. How special were those moments?
Yeah, it's very special. There's a lot of people, you know, if I guess, in the background that the general public don't see, that do a lot of stuff for us. And just something within our group, we just try and go out and make those people very proud. We're very, very lucky. We've got a chairman here who's been more than supportive to us. Like, we've an unbelievable backroom team, the management team, and there's people in the background, you know, that come up, they're at every training, they're there every night. There's never a question of, you know, there's never a question of want there. Like, it's crazy, like, and like the support, like, even on our worst days, it's an unwavering support that we have. And, like, thankfully, you know, we're just lucky to be part of that. And if we can go out on any day and make them proud, like, it's a privilege for us, you know. Mm-hmm. And to come off the pitch, I guess, and see that, especially, I think we were massive underdogs, for them to give them a bit of pride,
it's just, yeah, it's special for us, mm-hmm. I guess.
And of course, it's the build-up to the county final now. I mean, the next number of nights, obviously, we'll have press nights and you'll have papers and you'll have newspapers, and I suppose Dingle and Dr. Crokes are going to get the kind of maybe a week or two in the limelight. How important is it for the club to have that there, particularly, I suppose, with the underage coming through maybe as well? They do need to see maybe heroes on and off their field above training every night as well. And it's obviously a nice thing for a child to say, oh, look, they're the senior team, they're in the county senior final. So it must be good to leave that kind of legacy.
Yeah, 100%. Look, it's nice. We're not going to get too carried away with it, like. But I guess, you know, it's very good for the underage, and we're lucky, you know, we train, that a lot of the younger crowd do come up, and they'd be kicking around, and they're kind of part of it. We, you know, if we had a chat afterwards, they're in the huddle and stuff, and it is quite nice, like, you know, they love it. It's the same, you know, the same kids that are up there training. Whenever during the week are the first ones that run on after a game asking for your clubs or whatever, so they love it, you know. And if we can contribute to their happiness any small bit, like, it's, again, it's just a huge honour for us.
Yeah.
There you go, huge honour for us. That words of Micheál Flannery, of course, Dingle, is he looking forward to the county final. That's the view from Dingle. Up after the break, we talk to Dr. Crokes.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now, Dennis Coleman and Pat O'Shea's footballing relationship can be traced back to when both men, believe it or not, were in the same under-12 team, and both men will be on the line once again on Sunday, looking to bring a 14th county football title back to the Black and Amber in Killarney. Earlier in the week, I spoke to Dennis, and we started talking about the county league.
Yeah, no, it is. It's it's a great way of, like, there's a huge gap now from coming out of minor into senior. And, you know, in the last 2 years, you're bringing out 5 17-year-olds playing senior football, which is very, very young to be playing senior football. So it's great to have them out playing county league football, playing adult football. And, you know, they realise very quickly that there's a huge step from minor to adult football. There's a massive step from minor to playing Division 1 county league football. So it's brilliant that they're out there playing. We have a C team as well too. Load of other lads out there playing with the C team, and the aim of the game is get football into guys. Mm-hmm. That's all they want to do is play.
And of course, it's keeping numbers as well. Onto the club championship. First round game, Dingle. You were going in with, I suppose, good form. Everybody had you winning by 15 points and the whole lot, and Dingle being relegated, and they hardly had a team, and there were all injuries. It shows you how wonderful football is, because results don't go based on that.
Yeah, and to be fair, you know, the team that Dingle had in the county league had held no kind of match to the team that came into the county championship. But I'm sure they were delighted that they had a load of guys down there playing county league football as well too. Where they finished, you know, at least they got the guys out in the field playing football. But when we finished up with the county league, there was that sense that was the end of that part of the year, and then you had to bring everybody else back in. And I suppose, you know, a lot of clubs, a lot of teams got caught on the hop as well too, because Kerry were beaten in the semi-final. Suddenly you weren't playing on the weekend of the 10th of August, you were playing on the 27th of July. You were trying to bring back Kerry players from under-20s, from hurling, from senior. We had a couple of guys in the States. So it was trying to create almost a new setup again. You know, no more than any other club was trying to do. Yeah, we went in against Dingle in the first round, and it was a real eye-opener for us. They gave us a right good clipping that day, 317 to 214. Now, for neutrals, I would say they thought it was a magnificent game of football to get that kind of a score. And there was huge learning for us in that. But you'd no time to go off and cry in the corner, because, you know, you were out again the following weekend, and we played Milton Castlemaine in here. And tried to get the wheels back on the wagon, get a response from the players. We did. Then we had to go and play in the Gael in Tralee. Very challenging game as well. They were a particularly defensive team, and it was hard to break them down. But, you know, that's all part of the learning as well too. Got that job done. And then we had a lovely easy task in the semi-final, going out to Rathmore and playing Rathmore out there. Again, fabulous challenge. That was the first game Micheál Burns was back from the States for. So that was a new addition to the squad then as well too. Thankfully, we got the business done out there as well too, and finished up playing Dingle in a final where, on this occasion, they were certainly down a number of players. I know Tom Sullivan wasn't there. I have an idea Conor Ganey was out injured as well too. You know, so they were down a few players. And we went and, you know, turned the tables on them that day. Was it 115 to 11 points or something like that? But, you know, that's the way it is. Two contests, and the score is 329 to 328 for the Crokes, which is ridiculous scoring. But it just shows you, you've two club sides there who are mad for road. They want to go and they want to score, which is just fantastic. I mean, that's what people want to go back and see.
And then there's no rest, obviously, because the county championship comes along quick enough after that. Is there a big step up from the club championship to the county championship?
Absolutely. And it's hard to explain to people who are not in Kerry what goes on there. The club championship is a magnificent competition, but county championship, now you're going up a different level. I can remember back in the noughties playing against the South Kerry team that just broke our hearts year on year. And we had an opportunity at that stage to just go off and cry about it, or to roll up our sleeves and do something about it. And I would credit South Kerry with making us the team that we were back then, because we had to go up a number of standards. Same now, when you go into a county championship, you play your mid-Kerrys, you play your East Kerrys, you play your St. Brendan's board, who were particularly strong this year, and it creates a completely different challenge. You look at their team on the sheet and you're going, oh my God almighty, was it 2022? Cairns O'Reilly's played Stacks in the county final, and then you get the two of them coming at you, plus all the other clubs from St. Brendan's. And again, they're massive challenges that you either rise to or you just walk with.
And it's guess as you mentioned St. Brendan's, because I suppose the county championship is such a competitive, because both yourselves and St. Brendan's failed to get out of your group last year, and this year you were in the semi-final against each other.
Absolutely.
So it's one game here and there.
Absolutely. And I suppose, unfortunately for the lads, like, I mean, we had Goochin and Edmund looking after the senior team for a couple of years, and then Brian Mack came in for a couple of years with his management team. They put in unbelievable work. I was up here looking at what they were doing, the time, the effort they put in. They were haunted with injuries, absolutely haunted. And as a club side, going in then and playing against the top teams in the county, you're without Gavin White, you're without Tony Brasson, you're without Niall Burns and a few others, and you're going, yeah, that's a bit of an uphill battle. So we've been fortunate this year because we've been able to keep it together injury-wise. You know, you see there then in the club final, Dingle are down a couple of players, and it hurts them. Because as clubs, we don't have that massive talent pool to pull from. You have what you have.
The championship itself, I mean, you've kind of handled most hurdles within reason without too much difficulty, maybe, to be fair. But maybe we'll just bounce on to the semi-final, because I think maybe that was the one where there possibly was a little bit more questions asked. I mean, most observers would say he controlled the game, but there was a stage there, 53, 54 minutes on the clock. There was still only 2 points in this. I mean, it wasn't as if he kind of pulled a small bit clear. What was that? Was that just because it was a county semi-final and you were against a top-quality team, the likes of David Moore and the big names and Joe O'Connor midfield, that they hung in there with you? And was the most pleasing thing out of that when those questions were asked, you were able to move up another gear in the last couple of minutes and win the game by 5 points?
Yeah, and I suppose it was like, you know, you hear a certain amount of commentary, you know, the Kenmare game, the Ratmore game, where we were ahead by, let's say, 9 or 10 points, and they brought it, they got a couple of goals, they brought it back. And I would always look at that as a compliment to Kenmare and Ratmore, as opposed to a fault with Dr. Crokes, because, like, these are proper championship teams, and they're going to come at you. And the nature of Ratmore and Kenmare is they pride themselves in going to the very fine whistle. So no surprises there. If we got out of Kenmare with a 4-point win, we got out of the Ratmore game with a few more. The last day in Brendan's was a wonderful win for us, on the basis that, you know, like, it was up for grabs with 7 minutes to go, and we dug in and we finished winning by 5 points. And, you know, we've looked at the game since, trying to figure out what was it. And you know, you have to commend the opposition as well too, because they were a big, strong, physical outfit as well too, with a lot of footballers on the team, and they never let go, and never let go, and we found it hard against them. While you know, defensively we were very, very sound. We could have scored more than we did. We still scored 14 points, but you know, we got a couple of great scores near the end of the game when really, as I say, it was up for grabs. So it was a great performance in the last 10 minutes of the game.
And of course, gave you the luxury possibly to watch the other semi-final, probably safe from the knowledge of one of the big guns was going to come through. Did it surprise you Dingle came through?
I think it surprised everybody, seeing as East Kerry were 3-1 on favourites to win the game. But there's a ruggedness in Dingle. They're massively skillful, massively determined. We only know that too well. We've played them twice in Championship this year, so we know what they're about. East Kerry, I mean, they had the game won a couple of times and then they gave it back to them. But again, I'm saying credit to Dingle. They just wouldn't let go. And they made it very, very difficult for East Kerry. So am I surprised with Dingle winning? Not really. You know, not really, because they're a quality side.
I change the question maybe. Are you surprised there's two club teams in the county final, especially with all, I suppose, the commentary and the narrative over the last number of years of district teams being too strong, Mid-Kerry, East Kerry, you mentioned South Kerry going back in the early noughties and the whole lot. But it's nice to have a county final. And we did have, of course, we had Stacks and Rahilly's recent enough as well, it's not unheard of.
Yeah.
But it is nice to have a county final with two club teams too.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's a winner-takes-all county final as well too.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That everything that we've played up to now, it's on the line now for this county final. But you know, that's a blessing in disguise as well too, because you know, if you were going out playing East Kerry now on Sunday week, you know, the conversations would be happening around the place. People saying, oh, they won't put in too much effort now because they'll be preparing for a month's championship, all that kind of stuff. Whereas this is great now. You can have a very, very clear focus now. There's one game, there it is. And you put everything into that.
Absolutely. Well, listen, Dennis Coleman, the very best luck to you on the big day, and let's hope everything goes into it.
Thanks very much.
Yes, sir. Fair play.
There you go. Big fair play to Dennis Coleman at the very end. What else could you end the conversation with? He certainly is a fantastic speaker, and as I said himself and Pat O'Shea, they've been plotting this since we were nearly under 12 together, and the very best luck to them, and indeed the Dingle gang as well. Should make for a fantastic senior football county final. Now, after break, we will talk to two men who competed recently in the World Masters Marathon Championships, and we'll find out how they got on after the break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now, the World Masters Marathon Championship took place in Bucharest last week. My next guests had the run to remember for sure, with Unreal's James Dorn finishing in superb third place in a time of 2 hours 33 minutes 13 seconds, and together with Martin Dineen, who was running of 2:55 and 14, and Tim Long's run of 2:59 and 22 seconds, they secured third place for the Irish team in the over 35 event, making it a weekend to remember. And I'm delighted to say that I've been joined by James and Tim, unfortunately not Martin, he's on holidays.
He's sunning himself in Portugal at the moment.
Yeah, he's warm weather training for the next big event. James Dorn's a voice that you probably heard a good few times before. Tim Long, welcome to the show as well. James, third place. This is no kind of bronze medal in the community games, is it?
No, it's not, to be fair, but it was a nice one. It wasn't expected. I suppose I've been doing a lot of block training with long runs at the moment, so it might sound a bit disingenuous, but it was a training run for a bigger goal at the end of the year, which is the Valencia Marathon on the 1st of December. But I felt at the time that I might have a chance, an outside chance of a medal, and that I might be in the mix for the top 5 or 6, but yeah, lucky enough I was able to pull through.
Where along the way in the race did it click in that, God, yeah, I've more than a chance now?
I suppose I passed Tim and Martin at the 28k mark. It was an out and back section, and I passed on the message to the boys that, listen, we're actually with a chance of a team medal here. That was the first thing was in my head, that I think the Portuguese are the guys that we have to fight for here. And that was a message to give the boys to let them know what was going on around the field. But at that stage, I had an inkling myself that I was probably about fifth or sixth in my own age category over 40. And by about maybe 32K, I caught a Danish athlete. That moved me up to fourth. And then and I think it was about 35K, there was a British athlete. And I was biding my time, hoping that maybe it would about maybe 38, 39K that I'd strike. But there was actually a funny moment. Actually, there was a local lady on the side of the road, and she was watching the race develop, and she was giving everyone encouragement. So, of course, she started clapping and cheering on the British athlete to go on Britannia. And next thing, of course, I was praying and hoping that she wouldn't mention Ireland. And next thing, Ireland, and I said, "Oh no!" So obviously, the British guy knew I was on his heels, but I just came up alongside him, I suppose, to listen to the body language, the breathing, how he was feeling. But as I passed him, in fairness to him, he said, "Look, you're going well. Keep it going." But a lot of time that can be a signal where a guy might be playing games with you, wants you to go to the front and he'll work off you. But thankfully I was able to push on from there. And at that stage I was in third position, but I actually had an inkling I was in fourth, and there was a Spanish athlete up the road, and I made an effort, conscious effort, to pull him back at about 37K. But it actually turned out that he was in the over 35 category, so I sauntered away in with him at 40K with a good old chat. No good to me.
You stage. Threw that fish back.
Exactly.
Tim, your own run, 2:59. You happy?
Yeah, I suppose. Look, that
Bucharest is kind of, I'd say, it's one of those strange places that all of a sudden James says, "Come over here, we'll go to Romania and we'll run a marathon." Is it?
Yeah, it's not your top of the list destination, all right, admittedly. But the race itself, look, it really wasn't about time for us, above all times going. It was way more about the championship running side of things, whereby you were looking at the other athletes, the other nations, the Germans and the Italians we knew were a good outfit as well. So we were really up against it with them. James was obviously feeling comfortable because he was able to give us feedback along the route, as he mentioned there. So when he was able to give us feedback about the Portuguese, we knew at that point, Martin and myself were actually together at that stage, we knew at that stage what we needed to do as regards staying ahead of the Germans and the Italians. We had an awful battle to do that, but we managed it. Right up to the last 2 metres, actually, was where I would have passed the German guy to take third. So while my own time isn't anywhere near my PB for a marathon, it was way more about getting the championship placings.
Is this a more enjoyable race, the championship race, where you're kind of counting people's places, or is it, you know, when you have the pressure to watch on you and you know maybe you're 2 minutes off this kilometre and you should be running faster?
Yeah, I suppose the marathon is a mental game anyway, no matter what way you approach it. So any distraction from the, we'll call it the suffering, any distraction from the suffering along the way is welcome. Yeah. So along the route, James mentioned there the British athletes, Martin and myself would have actually ran in a group of them as well for a period of time. And the couple of words here and there, which, it sounds amazing that you'd be talking during a race, but you will have a couple of words here and there during it. That's a welcome distraction also. Once you get to that 35, 36, 37 kilometres, then is where the real battle begins, both mentally yourself, physically also, and then from the championship point of view as well.
Absolutely. And a word for the poor man that came third. How well did he run?
He seemed comfortable out on the course. There was a lot of hairpins, so there was a lot of out and back throughout the whole course. So we could keep an eye on him. And at one stage, I think there was a holler of Riach de Boo, even though we were aware in the Irish singlet that the club comes first. So that was a sure sign that we knew he was going well. So to take an individual medal along with the team medal was a huge achievement.
Yeah. Of course, third man, Martin Dean, of course. You beat me to the question, to be fair, because obviously you're running for Ireland the whole lot, but you're running for your club as well. That's where it starts. I mean, Bovin Brosnan, next thing you didn't go too far into Castle Island, really, to be fair. But what's it like phoning home? Did they know straight away at home in Unreach that how good you were going? Is there a WhatsApp group there going and saying, "God, James is third again, and the gang are coming home with a bronze medal and the whole lot"? When do you find out these things, James?
But I suppose it's the prestige of running with your club mates. Like that to me, that was the big thing, to give the feedback to the guys, because obviously it's a great honour to wear an Irish singlet, but the camaraderie and the friendship that we've developed over the years is, I think, when you're suffering, like Tim said, is what keeps you focused and keep you going, whether it's at international level, local level or national level. To me, that's the enjoyment of it. That's the enjoyment I get out of it with the lads. I know it's an individual, but when the team event is there, it's quite special. But in terms of knowing where we are after, who you're contacting, actually it's a funny one. Tim was the first one I rang, because believe it or not, I actually genuinely thought that with a shot of a medal in the team section, the boys weren't quite so sure, and I just had to wait around to get the official results, and the boys were actually late for the medal presentation for the team section. But I had the great honour of presenting the medals to them after, so that was certainly
weren't leaving the medals behind.
No, I made sure I got my hands in them, but that was very special for me to be able to present the medals to the guys there afterwards. It was very special. But like I say, everyone at Brusnay, I've gotten great support around the village. They're always good supporters of mine. Like I said before, since I started, they've been very good to me. But the same in the local parishes around, in Ballymac and Scartaglen and Cordell. So it's nice.
Yeah, you're plenty of miles put up there. Tim, your own hinterland is?
Scartaglen, originally, but living in Cass Island now, which was a good few years. Mentioning the club there by James, I suppose that's something that I would have come to later than James. I really only started running in a serious way maybe about 8 or 9 years ago. My sister, actually, Siobhan Daly, would have been a lot more successful in that field before I was, even. So it was something I took up just recreationally, and the more you get into it, the more you enjoy it. And then, like James mentioned, the camaraderie and friendship really is what you get out of it. Having good club people as well out there in Cass Island is important. So that's what's kept me going in it, and it's very enjoyable. It's great interest to have.
Yeah. James, you said there's a bigger part of the planet at the end of the year, Valencia.
Yeah, so Valencia is on the 1st of December, Donal, and while it's not one of the majors, it's definitely growing over the last number of years, because the course is known for being quite a fast course. And I think this year, I can be corrected, but I think they're putting €1 million or dollars on the line for a world record there. So they're bringing the cream of the crop from all over the world there.
It's going to be fast.
It's going to be crazy fast. And I wouldn't be surprised if you see another world record there. I know the ladies' record was beaten Chicago last weekend, the weekend before, but don't be surprised if you see another record there, because the weather conditions are suited there as well. But but look, it's something to do. That'll be the end of the year thing for me, and we'll be planning for next year already, but
absolutely,
we'll see how we go.
And Tim, your own plan for the end of the year?
My own plan now would be actually to go back down the distances, really. I won't marathon train from here till Christmas anyway. Just, I suppose, work commitments there in school, in St. Patrick's Secondary School, and home life besides dictates those things. So I'll focus on a couple of races around Christmas time, just 5Ks, 10Ks.
You're
and
back in Farn Four, so will you?
I probably will visit Farn Four on St. Stephen's Day, all right, yeah. And then I'll look at doing a full again next year at some point, but set in stone.
Can you switch off, Tim, between being competitive and being social in the running sense, or even when you go out and do your run, are you timing yourself, or do you just kind of can you switch that button?
Yeah, I think so. Like on the day-to-day training, like you're training 6 days a week normally, so on the day-to-day training, on a normal training run, like we'd even go later on this evening for an easy run, and that's very social, and that's very important. It can't always be intense. Then for your sessions and the likes of a Wednesday evening when we're at the track at Rieacht, or of a Sunday long run where you have a part of it as a session as well, you're focused on times and you're focused on the training side of it then, alright, but it's important to have that balance. You can't have it full tilt all the time.
And you both injury free?
Thankfully, yes.
So far. Ask me after December.
Yeah. And of course, it's very important, because so many runners will pick up different things at different times. When they want to do something, it kind of hampers and the whole lot. But you need a clear run, obviously.
Yes.
Fun, but
it'll be. Well, I suppose it's the support network that you have around you as well. I mean, I'm very lucky. I know Tim just mentioned there about time and how trying to manage your time, but you need to have the support of your family and those around you. So I'm very lucky. My wife Claire, like, she really supports me, because I'm gone nearly every weekend. If it's not a race, it's a long training run. I'm home late after work, I'm straight out the door for training. So I think the boys see more of me than my wife sees at times. But and then obviously you've got your backup with your club physios, and then another great club mate of ours who does a lot of work with me is Jorah Sullivan. Jorah would often be out on the bike with me for long training runs at specific paces, just to make sure I am hitting the paces. So it's there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes. It's not just a matter of turning up and running. It's the training, but also those people that are there in the background to give you support. And I suppose Martin is reaping his rewards now, so he's enjoying himself at the moment. So hopefully we might get the same.
I'm sure he's a young master anyway.
He's a young fella.
This doesn't count as a real master.
No, he's not a real master yet. Listen, guys, well done. Congratulations. Fantastic achievement. And big congratulations to Martin as well, sitting over there. After the break, we'll take the news and then we'll talk about Camogie.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home. Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, Mondays from 6 to 8 p.m.
Now, just to catch up on a couple of comments and a few good ones here as well. Congratulations, James, Martin and Tim. We're very proud of you, from Siobhan Daly, of course, Tim's sister. A great way to celebrate a big birthday for Tim. Well, happy birthday, Tim, and you've gone out the door for a run with James, as you do when you're a runner. Best of luck to Stephen O'Brien and Adrian Spillane on their retirement from playing inter-county football, and thanks for all the memories. Yeah, and so say all of us. That's Dermot and Margaret Ann Blow in Two Assists. Yeah, and it's something that we will chat a little bit more next week, Dermot and Margaret Ann, on the contribution of Stephen O'Brien and Adrian Spillane, and we will talk that next week. And just because of, I love to be corrected, and this is a good correction, it should be clarified that when Dingle last won the county championship, they were part of an amalgamation. There were players from Lisbon on the team as well. Dingle have never won a county championship solely as a club, but I love the finish. We will on Sunday, though. So that's a person going to put a right to a wrong. And there you go. 1948, of course, was the last time. It says in the book that Dingle won it, but it was amalgamation. I'd say it won't really matter if Dingle win it. And of course, the same for Crokes, looking for their number 14 as well. Now, talking about county championships, my next guest should be looking forward to her Munster championship. I'm delighted to be joined on the line by Mary Roach of Abbey Dorney. But before we talk about any of that drama for a second, Mary, talk about Abbey Dorney and that epic win you had over Ballymac.
Look, it was a titanic battle, I think. Ballymac pushed us to the bitter end. You know, they pushed us to extra time. I suppose, look, things weren't looking great for us there. With about a minute or two of normal time to go, I think we were down about 5 points. Pulled back a point, and then we got a penalty, and Manley slotted over the equalising free to get us into extra time. But we kind of had to come back fighting again in extra time. I think we were a point down, maybe at half time. We kind of pulled away a bit in the second half. Look, I think second half of extra time, I think it was, we were able to get fresh legs on. I think it was probably the bench that really was the difference in the end. But look, I suppose it was kind of what we expected from Ballymac. You know, they're a formidable size. You know, we've always had good battles with them over the last couple of years. So, but yeah, it was great to get the win and great to bring the cup back to Abbey Dorney after 20 years. So,
And that's amazing, because I would have said that Abbey Dorney has a fantastic tradition of ladies football going all the way back, and all the All-Irelands that you would have won and county titles. But 20 years waiting for a junior title, it's nice to square that, wasn't it?
It certainly was, yeah. Look, I suppose 2004 was the last one, and then we went on to win the All-Ireland Intermediate in 2005. But look, I think it's like any club, you know. And we probably went through a rebuilding phase. Look, and a lot of work has kind of gone in over the last number of years into the coaching structure and, you know, recruiting players from around the parishes. So look, a lot of work has gone in, and, you know, probably a bit unfortunate. You know, we were in the junior club final there, I think it was 4 years ago maybe, probably came a year or two too soon for us. We were beaten in the final that day by MK and Gale, and we were beaten, I think, the next year, then I think it was in the quarter final, and then last year we lost out in the semi final by a point to come on. So I suppose we've been kind of knocking on the door for the last, you know, 4 or 5 years maybe. But certainly before that, I think we just went through a rebuilding phase, really. You know, I suppose it happens in clubs. But look, there's a great underage structure there. You know, there's huge talent there coming up. you know, we train there, coach there every Tuesday and Thursday, and the numbers that are there, you know, are, you know, are massive. You know, it's
hugely encouraging.
There on Tuesday, but it's organised chaos. So.
Absolutely, but it's a good chaos to have, because I imagine a lot of clubs are kind of looking for players and maybe a bit of space as well to train them. Of course, and then this weekend, big weekend, back into Munster, dipping your toe back in there again. I suppose the memories of 04 and 05 maybe as well, either into the winter time. A home game and a good win.
Yeah, came out a good win, I suppose. Yeah, it was. I think speaking to people afterwards, you know, they said like it was a good showcase for ladies football. You know, it was kind of intense football. But it was a tough, like, mind table too. They were a strong physical team. But you know, we got off. I suppose we ended up playing against some reason the first half, but we got off to a dream start. You know, we got two goals, but they came back at us. But we were kind of happy enough going in 2 points up at half time, but. Second half, then the breeze kind of died down a bit, so it kind of disappeared, actually, to be honest. But we got a kind of a five. I think we went 8 points up at some stage, and they brought it back. But you know, yeah, we finished out comfortably enough, I suppose, for the 5 points. But you know, there was still a pack into the final whistle. But look, you know, our crowd are a resilient bunch, so they'll stay fighting.
Absolutely, and of course. It's amazing then, because you should be planning, and you probably are planning, to be fair, for the next round of the Munster Championship, because the fixture comes out and you're told, listen, you have home advantage, you're playing Mungers, they're the Limerick champions, 1 p.m. It's another big day out for the club. And then, I suppose, the bad news breaks. I don't know what's the right terminology, but all of a sudden I'd imagine a couple of players who are dual players are texting each other WhatsApping and saying, oh, that's funny, because that's the day that we're over in Kilmoyle at 2 o'clock and some of us are playing Kilfinney, and then there's more of them joining the group and say, oh God, no, we're above in Tipperary at 2 o'clock the same day playing Moneygall. When did that all hit home to you and maybe to all the people involved that, yeah, we're in a bit of a quagmire here?
Yeah, look, I suppose, to be honest, it goes back to the county final. You know, that evening, I think after the game, we were just kind of looking at the fixtures, and we could see that there was a potential clash there. Obviously, we didn't want to jump ahead of ourselves. We knew we had to get over last Saturday's game before it would become a reality. But we saw that both semi-finals, or three semi-finals, I suppose, were down for the same day and pretty much the same time. So we did highlight it to all the county fixture secretary at the time, who directed us to the county chair, who is on the Munster committee. So I suppose, look, we followed their direction. Their direction to us was to, you know, to have the email drafted and to have it ready to go if the situation arose after the final whistle on Saturday. We met with the Munster rep that was in Abitone on Saturday before the game, and just clarified with her as well, and it was her direction, you know, don't send the email before the game, but have it ready to go at the final whistle. And that's what we did, you know. And look, I suppose what the official email we got back last night from Munster LGFA is that Mungers weren't in a position to accommodate us, so the fixture is 6 at 1 p.m. on Saturday in Abitone. And look, Kilard, who play in the Munster Junior Camogie, are due to play at 2 p.m. in Kilmoyle, and Clamorris, who are due to play in the Munster Intermediate, are down for 2 p.m. in Moneygall and Tipperary. So it can't be in two places at the one time.
Yeah, absolutely.
The predicament we're in, I suppose, at the moment, you know. So
yeah, and just for listeners, it was on Facebook. Laura Collins, obviously well known, Kerry captain, you know, fantastic Abidorn. Actually, she played Kerry minor with me back in Abidorn, or back in with Kerry back in the day as well. Fantastic leader of her club. And then she takes to Facebook, and it's nothing that people haven't said, but I'm going to read this out for the listeners who didn't hear it or read it the whole lot. This should be one of the most exciting weeks of our lives. For most of us, it's the first time in a Munster semi-final. What an achievement, what excitement, and our friends and family proud as punch. But instead, it's a week of stress, tears, anger, disappointment and fear, because we've been let down by our sporting organisations. 10 young women have been very lucky to get the 2 Munster semi-finals in the same year. This should be something to celebrate, and they should most definitely be rewarded. Think of the work and the commitment that needed just to get them there, and now they're being told to choose, it's football or camogie. How can we be asked to do this? How can we turn up to training this week and tell our teammates we won't be lining out beside them, that we won't be there to help them reach a Munster final, when you know that's what they've been dreaming for, and you know that the chances are so slim that every player counts? This is what we are being asked to do. 10 players affecting 3 clubs on their bid to Munster glory. How is this fair and how is this being allowed to happen? And I won't name the players, the players are well known to everybody else. There's a lot of players there affected with this, Mary, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. Look, there's 10 players, you know, in total, I suppose. There's 7 with Clare and 3 with Clamorris. And look, as you said, Owen, at the end of the day, these players just want to play football and they want to play camogie. But as it stands, we've 2 provincial committees that are preventing it at the moment because they can't seem to communicate with each other. You know, it's as simple as that. Look, you know, the only answer that we're getting back at the moment is that they both ratified their fixtures, you know, at different stages earlier in the year and late last year, and they shared them with each other. But, you know, that's even more alarming because I don't know how it didn't highlight this clash, you know. I said to somebody else earlier in the day, you know, the Munster final is down for 2 weeks' time, and one is down for the Saturday, one is down for the Sunday. Not ideal as well because you're asking players to play within 24 hours, but we'll take anything at this stage, you know, without having to ask these girls, you know, to play. They, you know, they're open to anything. You know, they're happy to play 2 games in 1 day, which, you know, which isn't fair either. You know, you talk about player welfare and you talk about women in sport and promoting it and all this, and then look, you have this. You know, there's just no common sense really behind it.
I do know for a number of years ago, kind of covering it, and it's blown up here in Kerry, but it blew up in Waterford, it blew up in Tipperary, it hits the headlines in Cork the odd time as well, and it kind of goes to the wire, and you know, hopefully somebody will see sense and either move a game, you know, hopefully to 24 hours before or after for somebody. But you are right, I mean, it is communications between 2 organisations. Does that disappoint you? That there are 2 organisations promoting maybe lady sports and like the simple thing here, I would imagine, is for 2 people to have a chat about it and say, listen, we don't want the bad press of this, we don't want, you know, this story going to the media, which it has to go to the media, unfortunately, to kind of let other people know what the situation is. Does it not take that phone call from one or either of the associations to ring each other and say, listen, we kind of need to fix this here, because I mean, this is our next generation of players for all the world. These are the people that are going to be looking after Camogie or ladies football in time to come, and we don't really need this to visit them at this stage.
Yeah, it is. Look, it's disappointing that they're kind of not taking responsibility for this. Look, as I said, they're just trying to pass the book, and you know, the kind of the indication they're giving to us is that it's between the clubs to sort out, and you know, so I suppose that's all we're trying to do is to reach out to the.
But isn't that a big?
It's not their responsibility. Like, it's not their problem. You know, at the end of the day, it's the provincial committees that have set these fixtures. You know, and
but isn't it a hard ask, Mary Roach, to ask somebody in Kilhard tonight, with all due respect, to ring somebody above in Kilfinnie and say, listen, will you sort this? Where the leadership has to come from the top here, not kind of ask the clubs or the players who might know each other to, is there any way you can help us or sort us out? Because obviously, I'd imagine if I'm a Kilfinnie player or a Moneygall player or, I don't know, even a Mungret player, I'm going to kind of maybe stick the feet in and say, God knows, that's I have something on the Sunday or I have something on the Saturday and I can't move this. This could have been flagged well in advance, shouldn't it?
It could have been, it's 100%. Look, it shouldn't be their problem to solve, but, you know, as I said, the provincial committees just seem to be distancing themselves from it, you know. You know, it's a simple thing. You know, I don't know why they can't, you know, if they're ratifying fixtures and they're sharing the set of fixtures with each other, I don't know why they can't, you know, highlight these clashes. You know, we followed the direction that we were given, and that email went straight away after. But we had highlighted before that, after the county final, just not jumping ahead of ourselves, as I said. But, we followed the direction that they gave us, and we sent the official email, but, you know, all we got back was like, no, you can't be accommodated. So, all we've been doing all day, I suppose, and over the last 24, 48 hours, is just to try and find some solution to just not have those 10 players make a choice. You know, it's not fair on them. You know, it's not fair on the rest of their teammates, the both sets of teammates. And it's not fair on the management either. Do you know, a lot of, I suppose we as a club, everybody has put a lot of work and effort into this all year. And, you know, it's disappointing, you know, but, you know, got it for them to have to do that. But look, it's like I said to them last night, you know, we'll explore every avenue and we'll leave no stone unturned. And look, nobody wants to go to public route for this, and nobody wants to, but it does seem to be getting some traction on media. And, you know, we have had a phone call from Munster LGFA this evening. saying that they will do something, but they haven't given any indication of what it will be. But look, if it's more publicity is that needed just to get to a solution.
Well, at least with the phone call from Munster LGFA, it seems that, you know, they're not going to hide from the issue anyway. I mean, they've made contact, which is a good thing. And I suppose the other side of their cart as well is that they probably have to deal with the other team that you're playing as well. And, you know, I suppose it's championship at the end of the day. I mean, do you want to get through the next round, and you see your neighbours down the road are having a bit of difficulty. You know, it takes a lot of sportsmanship maybe to come across and say, listen.
It does, but I suppose I'd like to think if the shoe was in the other foot that we would accommodate, if possible. Obviously, you're not at a disadvantage, but, you know, we moved the league final earlier this year at long range as a quest because of puck fair, you know, and we ended up losing that league final by 2 points. But, you know, it's, I don't know, does it take the good out of it? It's just, you know, if these girls have to choose and they choose Camogie, which, you know, it will be entirely their own decision. Like, if we do end up fielding a team on Saturday, it'll be including 15 and 16-year-olds. You know, we'd be down to a single panel of 16, and there'd be four or five 15 or 16-year-olds. I don't know whether I would put them into the cauldron of playing amongst the semi-final, you know, against a team from outside the county at senior level. You know, we brought those young girls on to panel just to give them a bit of experience and introduce them to it, but we wouldn't expect them. They've played no minute of championship football, and, you know, we wouldn't expect to be seeing them playing until, in the next year or two, like, but it's just more, you know. Look, it doesn't kind of bode well, I think, for both. It doesn't show well for both associations at the moment, but, look, I think if there any leeway to move, you know, even just to move a couple of hours, you know, it's the players asking them to play two championship games, but they're willing to do anything. Do you know, they're willing to do anything. And look, all we can do is just keep working in the background. You know, in terms of preparing for a semi-final, you know, we haven't trained this week yet. You know, it's hard to kind of schedule and kind of work out a plan for the week when we don't even know what's happening.
Yeah. Well, look, Mary, look, there's much I can say that'll fix the problem fairly quickly for you. But look, hopefully. I would like to think
may prevail in the end.
I would really like to think, because everybody that's involved in the Camogie Association and the Ladies Football Association, they are general volunteers. That, you know, I mean, I would like to think somebody 100%. In some room says, "Listen, this is a problem. We need to fix it," and it's easier to fix it than just put our heads under the carpet and leave it pass by. Because if this turns out on Saturday and you have to have half your team somewhere else and somebody else goes somewhere else, there's no good in it. Yeah. There's no enjoyment in it, and the negativity that'll follow the sport will probably overshadow all the good stuff that happens and is happening, I suppose, within the clubs and even within the county and the provincial levels as well. But look, Mary, the very best of luck with it. After the break, we'll talk to Clan Morris.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now for something a small bit different. Delighted to be joined by, I say nearly the whole of Clonmore's Camogie Club inside here. We have Patrice Diggin, with Pete Young, who have called the wrong name about five times, but definitely Pete. Jackie Horgan, taking up the centre of the studio, is probably your best position lining out, full forward, that kind of way.
Yeah,
we'll put you full forward. Then we have John Madden slightly to the wing. Sarah is way out here, Sarah Murphy. And Eddie, in case I go wrong, Eddie Murphy is going to keep me on cue, like all good coaches and managers and the whole lot.
Sure will.
You're all very welcome. Come here, Pete, this is a huge journey. Started in 20...
Well, we've grown since 2007 and 2008, Camogie, like, you know, in Kerry, but Clonmorris has been, it's around 10, I think, we started off with St. Anne's and then they went to Clonmorris, because Clonmorris is a kind of a townland in North Kerry, like, you know, and they've been going since and they've been fairly successful now. They won a couple of juniors and now they're winning intermediates, so hopefully we'll win another few intermediates now as well.
There's plenty of room on the shelf for a bit more yet, is there?
Oh, there is. Our aim is to go senior eventually.
Yeah. Come here, it's been a huge journey because, to be fair, like over the last 10 years, if we ever talk about Club Camogie in Kerry, we're talking largely Clonmorris. And I know there's other clubs and they're finding their feet along the way, and in time they'll probably be as strong as well. But you're flying that flag for kind of ever really in the last 10 years. And we're talking about, I suppose, juniors and intermediates, and we're talking about Munster titles and crowns and the whole lot. How do you keep that success going?
Well, I suppose when you are successful, it's as easy to get players involved, right, you know. But this is a small pocket in Knockery for the night, you know, and more so for girls, it's great to see them playing Camogie because it's a sport. And going back when I was young, there was no girls really playing sport, you know. And it's great for them, like, just to be involved in Camogie and such like. And to me, it's the greatest game in the tournament. So it's great to see them playing. It's brilliant.
Absolutely. And of course, you're preparing for your Munster outing, Moneygall. Does it get easier? Does it get harder? Do you kind of relish the whole thing? It comes around kind of year by year fairly quickly. And now people are looking at Clanmaris, whereas maybe before they were saying, oh, they're the Kerry representatives. But now you're not the Kerry representatives anymore. Now you're the Munster champions. Now you're the team that form. Now you're the team that have competed this level for comfortably. And now all of a sudden, you're kind of a big dog really now, aren't you?
Yes, we're kind of well known now at this stage because we won the All-Ireland last year, like, you know, and we won a couple of junior and team. In All Ireland, so it all kind of helps the profile of Clanmaris, you know, and it is great for girls as well, you know, and a lot of clubs would know us as well, you know, as such, so they'd be well wary of us, and then a lot of girls playing with Kerry as well, and they'd be picking up on that as well, like, you know, so
watching it all,
they'd be kind of taking it all in, like, you know, in that sense.
One of the players with you for a long time, anyway, Patrice, were you there from the start, Patrice?
Yeah, as good as I suppose. I was probably there from maybe 2013 onwards, missed the first year.
What were the early years like? What were the years like where you were kind of going out? And I'd imagine it wasn't success straight away, was it?
No, we probably took a few beatings all right, mainly above in Limerick, I suppose, playing Limerick League and stuff like that. Would have taken a few beatings and probably would have struggled with numbers. Probably still are at times, but would have struggled with numbers. But, like, we probably still kept going because we loved it. And to be fair, I suppose, the group of us that are there, now we've come up through the ranks all the way up together. So, like, sure, we know everything about each other now at this stage, so it's great, yeah.
There was no stage in those early beatings or hidings or whatever, you got that, you said, God, this is too hard for us, you know, was it always the case that, listen, we'll go back to the drawing board again and we'll have another crack of it, or did you find somewhere along the way that we're getting closer, the guys, you know, we mightn't have won this year, but, you know, there's only 6 points in it, or then all of a sudden you're getting a draw, you're going to extra time, and then you're getting that one win, and then you're going on momentum. When did that kick in? When did that feel? When was the first win, we'll say, that came along the way that might be significant to us, maybe, but to yourselves it wasn't?
I suppose we won the first junior when we were in our in 2013, I think. And, like, to be fair, I suppose we come up, like, under 14, 16 minor, and we competed in minor, All-Ireland's minor, All Ireland semi-finals, so we knew, like, there was probably a good group of girls that if we could keep going, and once we got older, you know, and a bit, you know, wiser with the older age group, that we'd eventually get there. And I suppose we kind of kept trucking, all of us together, and I suppose it makes it easier when I suppose you're all together. There was never, I suppose, a day that we didn't go training for any reason, like, we just went and we loved it, and we actually just loved going off to matches and stuff, so there was never a question of not going.
Jackie Horgan, congratulations, soaring all-star.
Thank you.
No wings or anything, just a soaring all-star.
No, soaring, getting there.
Amir, you must get a right buzz when you saw that graphic come up with Kilkenny, Cork, Laois, and there's Jackie out there in the corner wearing a Kerry jersey.
yeah, it was. It was actually my sister that sent it to me. I was at work, like, and my phone just started hopping. I didn't really know. I said, there must be something gone wrong here. But I suppose, like you said, like, it's kind of funny seeing the Kerry jersey with the Kilkenny jerseys and the Cork jerseys and stuff. You're probably used to seeing them with the footballing counties. But it's great. Like, it's... I know everyone says it, like, but it does come down to the team and stuff.
Is it a recognition that the hard work finally pays off? You know, it might take 5 years or 10 years, as many years as you're at it, but I mean, like, you're at that level now, and we just touched the county, we'll go back to Clanmaris. I mean, like, you were so close this year, extra time blow down in Kilkenny of all places, inside in the heart of Camogie, I'd imagine. And the disappointment of that, but does that kind of push you on again another bit, maybe, you know, you want to get back to club straight away, and right, we'll try and defend our All-Ireland title on this, and maybe we'll think about Kerry it another day, but does it give you the strength to kind of go back to club straight away?
Yeah, it does, I suppose. Look, I think if you asked us at the start of the year, if you told us we'd be in an All-Ireland semi-final against Kilkenny, we probably, deep down, I suppose, you do believe that the team is good enough, but you're always just thinking, are we at their level yet? And, like, it showed big time when we played them up in Simple Stadium, going to extra time like that. We are there, and look, on the day, probably should have came away with the win. Thing didn't go our way, like, but that's sport. We're well used to being at both sides of it, but it does, yeah, it drives you on to even looking forward to Kerry next year again, like getting back in again, knowing how close you were, just to get back there again and try to keep everyone involved.
You're trying to get another Kerry jersey on the Soaring All-Stars next year, is it?
Yeah, they're going forward. I'm sure there'll be one or two or even more there every year.
Yeah, absolutely. Come here, John. Last year was fantastic. There didn't many Camogie clubs come in and they're all decked out. No, we did have the Dismas last week. Oh, God, you left down the side, Sarah, did you?
No.
No, Sarah's got a retro top issue. Come here, talk us about last year.
Yeah, I suppose, look, it was a serious achievement, what was achieved. Like, it was highlighted everywhere, and it was all over the press and everything, like the small amount of numbers we had, but I suppose small in numbers but big in heart. That day above not the All-Ireland, like, it was touch and go for a while, like, but again, it just shows the heart that these girls have. That nothing is a problem to them, or nothing, you know, the harder the task, the bigger they stand up, like. So yeah, it was a serious achievement, like, and from when we played Blackrock back at Ballyhale the very first day on a breezy day back there, nearly like yesterday, from there on it was just a journey, like, and it was my first year involved, but like, it was a serious bunch of players, like, and AD and Pete, like, you were such a tight knit group, like, it was, yeah, savage.
That's one good word for it, is it? Savage. Well, if every result was savage. Come here, Sarah, much like the girls, I mean, this has been a journey, and I know people use that in the sporting world. Oh, it's a journey and it's not... But it really has. I mean, like, you've gone through the minors stage with Patrice taking all the frees, and then, you know, she... Did she leave you down, Ash? Did she disappear, did she? Huh? She left
took
you on your own.
A well-earned break.
She took a well-earned break, and she left
Jackie
you on your own.
Jackie took a few of the
freezes. Jackie took the easy ones. But come here to me. What's it like? What was that journey like? Because, I mean, as I said at the start, Patrice said you took a few beatings, then all of a sudden you won the junior, then all of a sudden you're up to intermediate, then you're kind of climbing that next step, and now you're All-Ireland champions at that level.
Yeah, I suppose looking back on it, it's a bit hard to believe still. I think sometimes it's a pinch-me moment, but... I suppose it kind of comes down to, at the end of the day, our love of the sport, and we never, I know some days might be tougher than others to tog out and go out into the rain and the wind, but even yesterday morning now, we didn't mind going out. You just, there's no choice, we just love it, and we know we'll be happy after. And like Patrice said, it wasn't always easy, and I suppose we've won quite a few Munster junior titles on the way, and we kind of established ourselves as a junior club, but like coming up to intermediate then, it was a bit daunting, but I think we just put our heads down and really, really worked hard under AJ and Pete the first year, and I think all of our hard work kind of came,
yeah, got to the line and yeah, got over the line as well, exactly, which is the most important. Listen, Eddie, I'll talk to you after the break, because I say if I open the floor to you now, you certainly take the next 24 seconds off me fairly quickly, would you?
Ah, yeah, you're right.
Good stuff. We'll take a quick break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now we're in the company, of course, Clonmorris, looking forward to the Munster semi-final on Saturday. Eddie, Moneygall, they sound like a tough outfit, do they?
They are, yeah. They won the junior championship in Tippy a few years ago, and they got beaten last year in the intermediate final by Shannon Rovers. So they won it this year over Mulcahy Borough. So they're a good side, a great tradition. And they have a lot of girls who have played with Tipperary. Mary Ryan in particular, midfield, was a very good tip senior, very good player. And, you know, they have good players. They're a great tradition there, Moneygall. She's actually in Offaly, would you believe? But they're a club with men and women, a very strong club. They're very strong with men this year too, in the intermediate grade, you know. So they'll be formidable opposition. You're playing them up in their backyard too. We played Shannon Rovers last year, who had beaten Moneygall by a goal in the Tip County final. And that was a very hard game, you know, to win last year, you know. Like Patrice played, but she played through injury, and Amy Sutherland was injured, and they were, you know, they weren't at full fitness. Amy, they were big losses to us, really. Patrice played like a warrior, and she got a point, an incredible point to equalise at the death. It went to extra time. But, you know, it was a very kind of hostile atmosphere the same day in the Piercy Grounds. It was, you know, it was a very tough game. And, you know, if you benchmark Moneygall against Shannon Rovers, there's not much between them. And we were lucky to get over Shannon Rovers. So we're expecting a very, very hard game Saturday.
Mm-hmm. And of course, the other side of the coin now is that you have that All-Ireland you know, a title on the back of you. You're the guns that people want to take down now as well. Is that a nice thing, though? I mean, like, you're going in now as the All-Ireland champions at Kerry Camogie Club, whereas back in the day, you know, that wouldn't happen. And as I said, you know, you're the representatives of Kerry and the whole lot, and people might be looking through the Kerry men to see who scored 4 points or 6 points in various different games. But now with social media, where everybody knows at this level who's playing on each team, you know, you could nearly name the team that you're playing and who's going to match up and all that. Does that kind of bring it to a good level?
It does. It's on all the matches are available on YouTube too. But when you're champions, you have a target on your back, there's no doubt about that. But you've got to wear that crown well, you know. You're All-Ireland champions for a reason, and the win last year was incredible. Bear in mind, you had only 17 players to win that All-Ireland. That's unprecedented in men's and women's sport, and it's probably one of the finest achievements ever, I would think, in sport, to do that, to go up to Croke Park and perform, get 1-7, the other team got 7. You know, I remember the Meath champions, about 40 players in the programme, like, and that shows you the extent of it. Like Moneygall last week had 36 players named, Mike Hockeybarris had 40. So, you know, we're fighting above, you know, all the time we're fighting against the odds.
It really is the collection of all parts, isn't it?
Like, it is, yeah. But the players we have an indomitable spirit, you know. I've been involved mainly coaching men, but this crowd, this Clan Morris, one of the finest teams I've ever coached, and they have great pride, there's great bond amongst the girls, great mental toughness, great physical toughness, and great skill. And, you know, great will to win, insatiable win to win. It's hard to quantify what's in them. You know, I've very rarely come across a group of players, be it men or women, with these skills. They're an amazing bunch of people to train. They're trained hard, but they never complain. And they're a credit to Kerry, and they're a credit to Camogie. And the most of them represent Kerry at the county level. They got the All-Ireland semi-final this year, and we're very unlucky not to beat Kilkenny, you know. And that shows you how good they are, you know. And they're shooting against the odds all the time. But an amazing bunch, though, you know. Very, very resilient. And they've come, as Patrice said, from 2011 onwards. They've come from nowhere, really. Just a bunch of girls who love Camogie, and by extension had to represent Kerry because there was no other Camogie team there. So that's the Kerry connection. It's always thrown at them, they're the Kerry team. The only reason the Kerry team is there was no other clubs there at the time. So that was it. But an amazing bunch. Whatever happens Saturday this year, they're an amazing bunch. One of the finest teams, I think, you know, in pound for pound that you'll get.
Absolutely. Pete, the finest team, pound for pound, and you've been there since the start.
Is that a while out right now? But
you must have some great days. Give me your top three highlights. What were the best wins?
I suppose the first one was in, I know we went to the All-Ireland final with Kerry now in 18, and I thought it was a great achievement. But to come back the following year and then to win it was a big thing, like, you know, and then to win the club. John Morris won the club the same year, like, All-Ireland. So that was a fair achievement that year. So 19 will go down as the best year ever, like, such as Camogie, like. But coming back to this year, I know that we're talking about the Kilkenny game there. To me, I thought the most disappointing thing about this year was when we didn't stay up in the intermediate, the Division 2, was it 2B or 2A?
2A,
yeah. When we didn't stay up, and we had a lot of injuries, and that came back to haunt us. And if we stayed up, because I always find about that, that when you stay up, and if you could stay for a year or two, it definitely brings you on big time.
Yeah. You're playing the big teams, and you're learning a small, but even though the results mightn't be great, but you are learning, and players are getting...
And you're playing better teams as well, and that brings you on, like, as well, like, which is a big thing to me anyway, like, don't know.
Yeah. Jackie, when the numbers are so few, 17... or was it even 16 at stages, or 15? Somebody said it was 13 at one stage. But when the numbers are so few, is there more responsibility on players not to let the team down? Do you go the extra mile? You know, some players are injured, but they're going to play because they don't want to be that one person that might just let the team down. Or even my good old friend Liz Hooland, you know, the odd time, you know, she goes out of her way as well to kind of not let the team down. But what is it? What's that Clanmorris thing that we don't let the team down? What's that spirit?
It's letting the team down, but I suppose it's just like, I know that everyone talks about it, like, but the bond that's there is, like, it's crazy, like, and like that, you wouldn't miss a training, because not because you'd let them down, just because you wouldn't want to miss it yourself. And like the drive there, and even outside of training, like anything we do outside of work or outside of training, like 99% of the time it's with a Camogie, or like, you just do, be it go to the gym, recovery, if you went to the pub on a Saturday night,
you take
like
the
it's Camogie girls that are there, which is, and I suppose that probably brings it onto the field of play. But like Eddie was saying, like the heart. Like my father was involved for a few years, and he's been with loads of teams, and he would just always say like the heart of the Clamorris girls, and even he compared to other teams. And like that day, the Munster final last year, like it looked like it was gone when they got that goal, and then just bring that back again. Like it's just, yeah, it's hard to describe it really.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've seen her describe it, so what's it like playing with these girls?
I love it. I'm sure I can speak on behalf of Jackie and Patrice as well, and the other. How many do we have on the panel this year?
Seven more of you.
There's 19 of us. 21 of us. Yeah, it's
like
great.
Like two teams this year.
I know. It's great. Like Jackie said there, we have great crack. We enjoy each other's company. And like,
and was that always the way in the team? I'm trying to find what was the one moment that turning point in the road that kind of you went from kind of being a team that nearly got there to a team that we're good enough to get there, then you got there, and now come hell or high water, nobody's going to take that off us without a complete fight.
I don't think I can pinpoint any specific time or anything. I think it's an accumulation of all the different aspects over the last few years. Like Patrice said, we've been playing together, the majority of us, since we're under 14 with Kerry and things like that. And I think we know each other inside out. We get on great the majority of the time anyway. There's never really any dramas with us. And I think it just comes down to the love of it and the love of the club, and we love going out representing Clamorris and our families and doing our best for everyone, I suppose, around us.
Absolutely, fair play. Well, listen, we'll talk about friends and family and the support and the community support as well after this break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now we're in the company of the All-Ireland Intermediate Club Champions in Camogie. And they're from Kerry, and we've treated them here, and they've only got 17, so it's not as if we're leaving too many out, Patrice, to be fair. Mm. Come here, Patrice, new year, new season, and the season begins, of course, with Moneygall. What has prep been like?
It's been good now the last two or three weeks. I suppose we were kind of, before that, there was a lot of girls playing football between Sinnins and Abidorny, so I suppose once Sinnins got knocked out, a good few of the girls were back, and the Abidorny girls are flat out trying to be at both trains at the minute, so it's great. Look, like, obviously weather mightn't be great, but once you get there, sure, we've great crack, and we'd be missing whatever behind Eddie's back, so it's good crack.
All the time.
Yeah, it is watching you this evening. There'll be no behind the back. Come here, Jackie. What's it like to go back Camogie this time of year? I mean, obviously, you play for the county, and that tends to be kind of summery time, we'll say. You're back really in Munster Championship weather now, aren't you?
Yeah, that's for sure. I suppose playing in Simple Stadium in July with Kerry seems a long way away now when you're trying to find a sliver in grass that's up to your knees and the cold and the ice and the rain and whatever else may be. But I know it's great. Look, I suppose not many people are still playing this time of the year, so as long as the year is, I suppose what else would we be doing really? Only going training. And yeah, like Patrice said, it does shorten the winter, and like last year leading all the way up to Christmas, like it made for a great Christmas, so hopefully we'll stay going as long as we can again this year.
Yeah, and of course there, like, there's only 52 weeks in the year, and you seem to be Camogie playing for all 52 weeks of them.
53
some other week. It does tend to revolve your whole life around it, so we'll say friends, family, social occasions, the whole lot. Is there a bit of compromise there?
Yeah, massively so. I suppose our families and partners and friends have to put up with us. It's quite a selfish life, I suppose, really, sometimes, but I think, like, on the big days, then when we get over the line and we have celebrations like that, it makes up for it. Mm-hmm. And like, they're very supportive, to be fair. We go to our matches. We mightn't have the biggest sport network, I suppose, but the whole in our Kerry might go, and our parents will always be there, and our families and our friends, and it makes the world of difference when you hear them clapping you on the sideline. And
what are those moments like? I mean, last year they delivered the All-Ireland. I mean, obviously that's a fantastic moment, but afterwards with friends and family and the Murphy gang, we'll say, or the Murphy clan, I mean, like, what's that moment like? I mean, is it, God, we finally done it, we got there after all those years and the whole lot, is that a nice moment, or are you still getting kind of something saying, God, I know you got taken there for 2 points, you should have been better and tighter and the whole lot, or are they still kind of very grounded?
To be honest, no, I forget about the game once we've won. I don't care once we get over the line. But yeah, I suppose when you get over the line, it's kind of a relief, I suppose, the first thing that would come to my mind. Because I suppose we do put ourselves under pressure, because like you said earlier, we have a target on our back now and we don't want to let anyone down, and we want to put our best foot forward all the time, which can be difficult. But I suppose relief and enjoyment and everything, all the different emotions come straight away when you I suppose drop to your knees after a hard work of an hour of a camogie game. But yeah, we love the celebrations and after, so it makes it all worthwhile.
Let's check about the celebrations a while. Eddie, come here, are we selling him a small bit short? We're talking about the bond, we're talking about the spirit, the hunger, the determination. They're damn good camogie players too, aren't they?
Excellent, yeah. As a coach, like, I couldn't be more proud of them. You know, they're all able to strike it right and left, you know, on the run, stationary, over the shoulder. Their first touch is very good. Their tackling is immense. They're very, very brave. You know, they very rarely give the opposition a free puck. They'll hound them. And that's part of the bond. But there's an incredible spirit there, you know. They'll hound the opposition. And bear in mind, like, we beat Blackrock last year. Blackrock's a massive club. You know, I remember 2015, I trained at Blackrock, seeing a men's team, so I know how big the club is, and it's huge. And the Camogie team in Blackrock, they have huge numbers, and they came down to Ballyhaig and Clanmorris beat them. The previous year we had Arbolug. Arbolug won the Cork and Tymeta Championship. You know, they're from Cotchard, Macroom area, and they were clear favourites to win it in Mallow and Cork venue, and yet Clanmorris turned them over 2 goals. I think Amy Sullivan got 2 goals in the first 5 or 6 minutes. They were massive wins. Then we went up to Clonduff and we lost that game by a point or two, but that was the best performance they ever gave, because the weather, it was snowing. The match should never have been played with the weather, but the spirit they showed that day, we lost players to injury. Kate Lynch got injured and it was incredible. Clonduff were very, very good. They were the Down senior champions playing at intermediate level. That to me, like, and it sounds a paradox because we lost it, but that was the best performance. And even last year when Dáil Éireann beating Shannon Rovers up in the Piercy Grounds in Limerick, then beating Shamrocks of Galway, who had numerous Galway underage players and intermediate players, then the final against Nafine of Meath, the Meath senior champions, again with a huge volume of players. And you know, they were all tight games. You know, to win a tight game you need a great spirit, a great bond. You know, it comes out, it manifests itself when the game is in the balance, and all these games are won in the last 10 minutes. And that's when that spirit comes out. You have to have good hurlers to win matches like that. You know, you've got to be ferociously, physically tough, but very mentally tough, you know, and nothing will faze you. I remember when Patrice took that free against Shannon Rovers, I mentioned a while ago, she took that right in front of the Shannon Rovers management and supporters. And, you know, they're obviously mouthing at her, and yet she put it over the bar, and that takes tremendous mental toughness to do that. That was also on the sideline. And that was the last puck of the game to draw it. And that broke Shannon Rovers. In extra time, we took over. Like I said, Niamh Lean, centre back, was outstanding that day too. And that's what you're talking about. You know, they went into extra time. We had injuries going into it. We were tired. But yet, they won it. And that's what you're talking about. You're not talking about whatever happens. If you're not talking about ordinary players, an ordinary team, mm-hmm. You know, you're talking about a team with an insatiable win to win, an obsessive win, will to win. Baker's belief, really.
Absolutely. Come here, do you love those moments, Patrice? Standing up in something and saying you're going to miss it, you're going to bite, you're going to fall over yourself, you know where it's going, you won't. He says, do you love those moments?
I wouldn't say I love them at the time, I suppose. Look,
when you went over the bar and the white flag went up, go on, turn around, sure.
Relief, because I wouldn't be sleeping for about 3 or 4 months after it if it had gone white, because it was like that, like it was the last puck of the game. To be honest with you, to this day, I can hardly remember it. It was just a case of, I don't think I even took too much time over it. I just put it down and I took it, and with the help of God above, it went over the bar. It was just, yeah, it was just relief more than anything, and just that we were getting another chance at getting over the line that Munster final.
There was a lot of similarity about the final last year's competition and in 2019. But we played above in Tipperary. We played, I can't remember who it was now, but the time was almost up and Jessica was still got the ball and down to 21 out of the sideline. Yeah. She put it over the bar and made a draw and went to replay. And we changed around the team for that replay, and we beat him in the replay, and we went down to Wendalla in that year, like, until like last year with Patrice with the free. So that score was vital, and we went down to Wendalla, and wish we
that's why they need you, Pete, in the background. You know, we make all the good changes, is it?
Well, it's not over that, though. Actually, going for three and Roy in one sense.
Are you excitable on the sideline, Pete?
Aye.
Are you an excitable man on the sideline?
Yeah.
It tends to the referee, maybe, yes.
Sure, we're all effort, to be fair. Come here, listen. Congratulations for what you've done all the way back. I can't go all the way back to 2013. I'm calling what you called out and the whole lot. And as I mentioned, off here, you're Ashbourne Cup winners as well. So, I mean, God, there's real quality here, and there, to be fair. And as Jackie rightly pointed out, just a small bit younger. You how many you've won, is it, Jackie?
What is it? Ashbourne's
yeah.
Two.
Have you two? Oh God, I'm wishing.
Fair but fair. Remember that if a lad wins a Fitzgibbon Cup, it's the ultimate it for men. Yep. For to win an Ashbourne Cup is the ultimate
for Camogie.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. Come here, listen. Well done. Out in action, Clonmorris, Moneygall Saturday. It's above and tip.
Up yeah. Moneygall.
Moneygall, absolutely. Is mentioned Moneygall earlier? Is that Barack Obama's place? Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So you have the room.
He's sponsoring him. Yeah.
He's sponsoring. You'll surely get Donald to sponsor yourselves, would you? Come here, John Madden, make that phone call this evening, okay?
I'll do that.
Book the room above there. The very best of luck. I hope it really goes well, because you're a fantastic story. And I think, to be fair, that when the history of sporting Kerry is written in years to come, you won't get a page, you'll get a chapter for sure. The page will be written about Patrice and her free kick, of course, or her free hit, I suppose. She's not great at doing free kicks, sir.
No. That's Jackie.
That's Jackie. Yeah, Jackie can do both. But listen, seriously, the best of luck. Wish the rest of them the very best of luck. Say hello to my friend Liz Houlton, who, you know, we soldiered on with Tralee IT back in the day, a great selector as well. And it's an amazing story, and long may it continue. And Eddie, keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Even for that nice Cork voice on the sideline to haul in Pete the odd time, I'm sure it is worth it.
It sure is, yeah.
Up next is Mary Conroy. Big thank you to Keane and Ivan again tonight, and we'll do it all again next week.